We're reading today, Dave has asked me to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, from 1 through 16, if you'd like to read along. That's Philippians, chapter 2, 1 through 16. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you work out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being of the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for the good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, of that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain.
Thank you, Lonnie, for reading that. Let me get all situated up here. Everyone hear me all right? Sometimes I know I tend to speak a little low. If I do, well, let me know. What I'd like to talk to you about today is it's nothing that you haven't heard before. And probably some of you Father, thankful. Why is he mentioning these things? Because I've heard this quite a few times. Sometimes I think it's good for us to be reminded. Have you ever thought to yourself, am I satisfied with my life? I'm sure every one of us, sometime or another, has thought that. Am I satisfied with my life? Are we satisfied with our spiritual life, with our service to God? Being satisfied is there are several words that you might use to mean the same thing. To be content, you might say, is to be satisfied. To be pleased about something, you're satisfied. Without doubt about something, you're satisfied. To be complete means you're satisfied. I asked Lonnie to read this. If your finger's still there, this Philippian letter. Paul makes a statement here. In the second verse, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded in having the same love, being of one accord, one of one mind. Fulfill ye my joy. Complete my joy. Make my joy full." You know, we satisfy a diet by sometimes our bodies say, "Well, I'm hungry," and we eat something until we're stuffed. We're filled up. Paul had a little bit of concern about the Philippian brother. And he says, "Fulfill ye my joy." In other words, he wanted to be full. He wanted to be satisfied about how they were standing in the faith of God. He makes another statement on over in this year, same in the 12th verse. He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know, when we think about being satisfied about something, don't we have to look at ourselves? We sincerely look within us. When he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," don't you think those brethren then, he was writing to the church. You know, Paul was at Philippi in the 16th chapter of Acts. Remember, that's where Lydia was converted, the Philippian jailer. And after that, he went to Thessalonica and then to Berea and then to Athens. But he's writing to the church here. And he's concerned about their faith, whether they're standing or not. But he's talking to them individually. Work out your own salvation. You look at yourself. And I think when it comes to thinking about being satisfied or being content, being pleased about something, without doubt, we have to look at ourselves. Zach was leading us in 1 John this morning. Very good class. 2 John, the 7th chapter. John makes a statement there. He says, "There's many deceivers that's going out into the world." In the 8th verse, he says, "Wherefore, look at yourselves, that ye lose not that which ye have wrought." Look at yourselves. There's a lot of deceivers out there. We have a lot of deceivers today. We need to look at ourselves and be sure we're doing things right, doing things according to God's word. Work out our own salvation. Sometimes we get satisfied in our service to God. And I think we need to take time to look at ourselves. Be sure we're in. And I thank Nancy for calling and asking about scripture. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. This carries on the same thought as looking at ourselves, to examining ourselves. And that's what he says here. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not yourselves how Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are, the King James Version has, reprobate. other virgins have discredited. Reprobate means not to stand. Examine yourselves. Are you in the faith? Are you following what God wants you to do? Else you're going to be reprobate. Either you're going to stand or you're not going to stand. You're either right or you're wrong. You can't be both at the same time. And that's what he's bringing out. We need to look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. So does God expect us to be content? Does he expect us to be satisfied? Let's take time to look at a few scriptures. Let's go over to the book of Luke. The third chapter. In the third chapter of Luke is when John the Baptist was starting his ministry. Now, remember, we're thinking about, does God expect us to be content? When John the Baptist began his ministry, he's by the River Jordan. We're told that how a lot of people came to him. Down in the 10th verse, it says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? The tax collectors in the 12th verse said unto him, what shall we do? In the 14th verse, the soldiers came to him and demanded him, well, what are we going to do then? Look how he answers them. And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Does God expect us to be content? He expects us to be content with our wages. You know, in Matthew, the 20th chapter, we have a parable of the master that had the field, and he went out early in the morning, and he hired laborers to go out into his field. And then he went out later in the day and he hired other laborers. And then we have that the very last hour of the day, he went out and hired other laborers. And he hired them all for one penny. He said, be content with your wages. You agreed when you went to work for someplace that, okay, I'll work for you for this your price. Am I saying that? Well, we should never ask for a raise. I always enjoyed getting a raise when I was working. But we need to be content with what we agreed on. That's what he's telling us. Don't be talking against it once you've agreed to it. Let's look a little bit further over in 1 Timothy. Paul writing to Timothy. We're given another example here in the 6th chapter. The 8th verse. He says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Having food and raiment, let us be content. Let us be satisfied. I think of the 6th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and they was worried about, well, what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink or what their clothing, what they're going to put on. And what did he say in the 33rd verse? Seek you first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things will be what? Added to you. Yeah. food and, with food and raiment, let us be content. Sometimes we're not. I want more food, or I want more clothing. We need to learn to be content with what God's given us. Let's go over to the Hebrew letter in the 13th chapter. This 13th chapter in the 5th verse. Remember we had 2 Corinthians 13th chapter in the 5th verse a while ago? I get these mixed up, especially when I've got them in the same talk that I'm trying to give. And I have to go back, and that's the reason I wanted to turn to 2 Corinthians a while ago and read that. Because sometimes when you got two scriptures and they're both 13 and 5, you think, oh my goodness, you know. Let's look at this. Let your manner of life, or your King James has conversation, be without covetousness, and be ye content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. Covetousness here, as it's used here in this here, has a meaning of a wish for more. That's how he's using this here. A wish for more. And that's the reason he had to put this in the way he did. Be content with what you've got. With what God has given you. I couldn't keep from thinking in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter of Paul. Paul in that 12th chapter, he said, you know, I've been given this thorn in the flesh, and I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. What did the Lord say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. God expects us to be content even if our health is not good. Be content with what we've got. Let's go back over to 1 Timothy. Again, the 6th chapter. Here in this here 6th chapter, he's talking about there's people that they're speaking perverse things. Causing disputes and envies and strife and railing and evil suspicions. The 5th verse says, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. It says, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a lot of teachers out there in the world that think that the more you have, that's godliness. And they think that there's great. Paul says godliness with contentment. Being content with what we've got, what God has given us. That's great gain. So does God expect us to be content, to be satisfied? Yes, he does. Absolutely, he expects us to. With our wages, with our food and raiment, with whatever he's given us, he expects us to be content. Now, what about our growth? Now, we're talking about spiritually here now. What about our growth in God? Our daily lives, our worship service. Does God expect us to grow or to be content? In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse, just a simple saying, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Grow in grace and knowledge. God wants us to grow. And grace, as is mentioned here, is our service to Him. And in knowledge and knowing about Him. In Luke 17 chapter, the apostles, they make a simple statement there. And the fifth verse, they said, Lord, increase our faith. A simple statement. Increase our faith. Does God expect us to grow? Here we have the apostles of Jesus Christ, inspired men. They realized they needed to grow. I think God expects us to grow and realize that we need to grow just the same as they did. Now, what about our worship service? Our service to Him. Gerald just led us, and he mentioned Colossians, the third chapter, and Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Colossians, third chapter, talked about how we teach and admonish one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What about your singing? Are you satisfied with your singing? That's something I ask me, myself. Am I satisfied with my singing? There's a scripture over in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and the 15th verse. He says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Are we singing with the Spirit? Putting ourselves into it? Singing praises to God? Are we understanding what we're saying when we do it? Are we satisfied with ourselves, with our singing? Something I ask myself. What about a reading? There's two scriptures I'd like to look at on this. Colossians. Colossians 4th chapter. The inspired writer here is writing to the church at Colossae. And in the 4th chapter of Colossians, in the 16th verse, he says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye also read the epistle from the Laodiceans. Now let's turn the Bibles on over to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 27th verse. He says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Inspired man of God wrote, these epistles should be read amongst the holy brethren. Are we paying attention? Are we following along when they're read? Are we satisfied with our reading, with our attention? God expects us to read His Word amongst us when we're gathered together like this. And it's for a reason, when we can glean from each other. What about praying? Boy, this is something I have to take a back seat to. But it's something that we need to look at. Are we satisfied with our prayer life? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does it say? A few little words. Pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How many of us take time to do that? Pray without ceasing. What a statement. And how many of us have trouble just maybe offering a prayer in the morning and maybe a prayer at night? Or do we have God before us all the time? Pray without ceasing. Our prayer life. Again, I have to ask myself, am I satisfied with that? What about our teaching? Of course, we got 2 Peter 3, chapter and 16th verse, where it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. We need to study God's word. But what about our teaching one another? When I think of teaching, I have to think of the church at Thessalonica. In the first chapter of the book of Thessalonians, the 7th verse says, so that ye were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also to every place your faith toward God is spread abroad. What about our teaching? They were examples. And when we look at the book of Acts, when Paul was there, and Timothy and Silas, I don't know how long they was there. They wasn't there very long until the Judaizers caused such an uproar they had to leave, and that's when they went to Berea. But they were strong enough that they taught God's word all over Macedonia and Achaia. What about our teaching? Are we satisfied with it? Kind of close that thought. Over in the 5th chapter, in the 11th verse, he says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. They're doing this. They're teaching one another. They're building each other up. What about our teaching? There are several things we can mention on order: our communion, our contribution, our assembly. Let me bring this year to a close with our assembly. Paul wrote in the Hebrew letter. I think he's the one that wrote that, but there's no proof of it. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in the 25th verse, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How do you feel about your assembly? Are you satisfied with it? God wants us to assemble. The more we do it and exhort one another, build each other up, this is what the Thessalonian brethren was doing. And each day goes by, we're getting closer to the time that we're going to be with the Lord, whether we realize it or not. Each day we're getting closer. Are you satisfied with your service to God? Are you satisfied with your life, how you live it? We'll bring our remarks to a close with this. Second Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. We need to look at ourselves. You know, that's a hard thing to do, to look at self. Isn't that a hard thing to do? It's easy to look at somebody else, but to look at self? But we need to do that, examine ourselves. I can't save Dan, and he can't save me. We're responsible for individual, each and every one of us. Are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied with your service to God? I'll leave the thoughts with you. I hope it's been, gives us something to think about. If you're here and you're not satisfied with your life and you would like to change your life and start living for God, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing the chosen number.